Are we ready?
We're ready.
Mark, you ready?
Sure am, Gary.
Vito, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Start us up. Let's go.
Bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Leave me alone, let me go home. Let me go home and start over.
Rambling around this dirty old town, singing for nickels and dimes. Times get rough, I ain't got enough. Buy me a bottle of wine.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. On radio station WWDB AM 860. Hey, Mark, great to have you back.
I'm so glad to be back. I missed you, Gary,
I missed
all everybody else here.
And everybody missed you also.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right, we got a great show lined up today. Before we get into it, first of all, let me just mention that Ricky Bird will be calling in at 3:15 from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And our special guest who's in the studio, Mimi Dorshu, is in, and she is the
Director
of Spiritual Services for Recovery Centers of America, one of our underwriters. So we got a lot to talk about today. But before that, first of all, if you want to watch us instead of just listen, go to Facebook and go under Clean and Sober Radio, and you'll see us right now broadcasting live. And if you want to speak with us or our guest, call us at 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. So 2 weeks ago, I got a call from Kevin Steele, who is the district attorney in Montgomery County. And this Saturday, across the country, is Drug Take Back Day. And what that means is if you have any expired drugs or drugs that you're not using anymore, we want you to take it to the local police station wherever there's a drop box, but every police station in the country will have it, and drop this stuff off. You don't need it in your medicine cabinet. It can only cause problems, so get rid of it. And this is national, and it is the National Police Chiefs Association across the country that sponsors this. So this is what it looks like. Take the drugs, and by the way, Mark and I always say this, go drop this stuff off. No cops are going to jump out of the bushes and handcuff you. No, that's good. Look, I'm sure it's a group of people.
Drop them and run. No.
Drop and run. No, nobody's. So just get rid of the stuff because don't flush it down the toilet.
No.
Yeah, we don't want it.
It gets into the water system. All right. So let me see what else is doing.
Did you see the Eagles game last night, Gary?
I know the answer
to that.
I did not see the Eagles game. I heard they won.
Yes, they did. And I turned it off with 6 minutes left, and then with 2 minutes left, I turned it back on because they were losing by 10. But it was quite a game.
Yeah.
quite a game.
Quite a game, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right, here's the joke, Mimi.
Okay. Fill me in.
I love that people like sports. I don't get it. Yeah. Okay? I know it's weird. I was a varsity in school. It's not my thing. So I have other things. You know what I mean?
Gary's a runner. He's a runner.
I'm a runner.
He's a drummer.
A drummer and a runner.
He loves his music.
Yeah.
Mark's
a musician.
Yes.
We played in Gary's basement.
We played. We had a big audience.
Clean and sober band. Yep.
Big audience.
It was great.
So, okay, Mimi.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you are the Director of Spiritual Services for Recovery Centers of America, and we love that organization. It's helped so many people, including my daughter. Tell us what you do there.
Well, what I do there is I help educate people through relationship, because I don't like anybody just speaking at me, and I don't think that's very helpful for anyone. So through relationship, I educate people regarding the fact that they are actually a spiritual being. You know, when you go into rehab, in case you haven't been in there, you meet – sorry.
Yeah, in case.
A low blow.
Have you ever been to a supermarket? It's
I'm sorry. I know my audience. I know who's listening. But, you know, you walk in and there's people there that are called admissions, and that's the department. And you go in and you admit yourself, and they help you. And then nurses come, and they take your blood pressure, and they check your temperature. And nowadays they do COVID testing. After that, you're going to meet with someone if you have special needs. If, for instance, if somebody's a diabetic or something of that nature, they're going to meet with a dietitian there because you have a body, right? Then you're going to go meet with a doctor and get all your just baseline stats done. Why? Because you have a body. Then you meet with somebody called a therapist. Why? Because you have emotions, you have mind, you have background, you have things to talk about. But the thing is, you know, science has proven, because they can keep the body alive with a tube down your throat and a pacemaker on your heart. But once your spirit leaves your body, nobody keeps it alive. And your spiritual being is where your health comes from. And so, you know, the owner of Recovery Centers of America is a gentleman named Brian O'Neill. And he,
great guy.
He met me and said, you know, he actually said to my husband, she's brilliant. So that's my claim to fame. So I'm going to go with that. And he said, I have to find a place for you. And actually, my husband and I, for 20 plus years now, have co-pastored a church together, non-denominational church. And he actually asked us to close up shop and bring it in-house.
Wow.
And we did exactly that. We were up to several hundred people right before COVID hit. You know, we had alumni coming, their children, their moms, their dads, family members, people from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. A woman I met in my gym locker room came. And we just had a good old time every week exploring the fact that we're not just a body, we're not just an emotional person. We have a spiritual being. When that is injured, just like, you know, if I walked in here today, it's a secret, you guys didn't know this, but I had a little tiny accident last night and broke a bone in my foot, I think.
Oh, no.
Oh, I buddy taped it. I'm fine. But, you know, but if I walked in on crutches, right? If I walked in and I had a cast on my leg, what do people normally do? They jump up and they help. Hey, can I bring you your lunch today? Let me get the door. Let me get a chair for you. Why? Because 99% of every human I've ever met, they have compassion on the inside of them. But when you're struggling with an addiction, all those wounds are on the inside of you most of the time. And they need somebody to provide a safe place to work through those issues. Or else the body's going to stay addicted. The thoughts are going to stay addicted. So I consider what I do to be the greatest privilege of my life besides mommyhood. But they grew up, so it's now it's just momhood.
So is the program at RCA non, what's the word?
Non-denominational. It is, absolutely. And if you're a Muslim and you come in, I have Qurans there for you. Many people speak to people that are Hindu and there is no one turned away and not loved. No one.
I can understand why that would be a big comfort to people. You know, it's another tool to help people rewire their heads and get into recovery, right?
Absolutely. And what you were saying about the spiritual, emotional, and physical all converging,
right.
being so important. And you also pointed out about the relationship.
Right.
There's nothing better than that therapeutic alliance, don't you think?
Well, people need a safe place to come. If I may, Gary, tell me if you just want me to be quiet, you got to wink at me, okay?
No, I'll go like this.
Gary knows me. But, you know, step five. Let's just talk about step five for half a second, okay? That's a lie, a few minutes. It says, you know, you admit to God, to yourself, and to another person the exact nature of your wrongs. You know what that does not say? It doesn't say, go tell somebody every stupid thing you did when you were impaired, whether through drugs or alcohol. Don't do that. It says, talk about the exact nature of your wrongs. And you know what? I ask this question, and across the board, 100% of the time, people will say to me, I'll ask this question. When you read step five for the first time, what was your first thought? First thought, who am I going to spill my guts to? Who am I going to tell all the shame, all the embarrassment, all the heartache that I'm living with on the inside? I'm humiliated. You know what? The step doesn't say to do that. The step says, talk about the exact nature of your wrongs, not your behaviors, while you were impaired. And it doesn't say to go find a confidant first. It says, go talk to God. Go talk to your higher power. Then sit with yourself. Admit it to God, to myself, then to another person.
It's all good advice.
Absolutely.
I'm going to run through a couple of these things real quick. Michael Shoemaker, Dan Campbell, whoever you have on there. My daughter Sophie Hendler's watching. Hi, Mimi. Oh, my big, big love. She says about you, such a wise woman. I am grateful beyond words that you are in my life. Robert Brody, what's up, buddy? Andrea Diaz, your wife.
Hi, honey. My beautiful wife.
Tammy Dugan Herder is watching. Michael Siberia. Michael, haven't seen you in a decade. I hope you and your family are doing well. Okay, that's it right now.
That's all I got, too.
It keeps coming in. So somebody comes into RCA, and let's just say, and I'm not judging anybody, everybody does what works for them.
Right.
You don't believe in anything.
Right.
What happens?
Well, Gary, between you and I and everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I don't mean not believe. Look, I believe. Look, I have compassion, empathy.
Right.
I'm superstitious, so maybe there's some religion with that. I'm personally not religious. That's just me.
I am.
And I have been sober for 38 years.
Right.
But I can understand. I've had friends that have lost children, and they have said to me, because of their religion and their spirituality, it has really helped them get through trauma.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Right.
I get that. So I think that, you know, coming into a program like this, anything that can give you comfort.
Right. The beauty of the 12-step program is that a person can identify a higher power. And I always say this to our patients and anybody who will listen to me, quite frankly. I always say, if your higher power is really a higher power, it doesn't need to be mystical. It doesn't need to be a curious, like, hunting expedition. If your higher power is really a higher power, they can come and find you. So this is what I did. I said, could you please show up to my higher power? Because I didn't know who my higher power was, because I am not a higher power. And that's one of the beauties of the 12-step program, is that you get it becomes personal, and it can get personal very quickly.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Listen, Ricky Bird's on the line.
All right.
And is he on? Ricky, you there, buddy?
Hey, Ricky.
I'm here.
Hey, Ricky.
I am here.
Ricky, let's do this. Let me give people who've been living under a rock for the last 50 years a little bit about you. You're a rock and roll guitar player, singer, songwriter, and producer. You spent over a decade as a member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, where you contributed music and background vocals to two platinum albums. You have played with Roger Daltrey, Ian Hunter, Southside Johnny, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Joe Walsh, Alice Cooper, Mavis Staples, Billy Squire. I mean, it's only an hour show, Ricky, so I can't go through the whole list. But, man, you got it together. So what I'd like to do is – so everybody knows you're a rock and roll – You were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You got to be in the top to even have that privilege. I would like to talk about, if that's okay with you, recovery and your new album. How's that sound? Is that all right, man?
Sounds fabulous.
All right. What do you want to tell me, Ricky? Nobody's listening. Anyone? No, I'm kidding. Ricky, so.
What do you want to know?
No. So your first album came out, what, 3 years ago? It was Clean Getaway.
That was my first recovery-based album.
That's what I'm talking about, recovery-based album.
Yeah. I guess I did a solo record in 2013, too, called Lifer. But in 2017, we put out Clean Getaway, which was a collection of songs that I'd been doing at, I lead these recovery music groups. Well, I was leading them before the pandemic, but around the country. And at treatment facilities and at high schools and a couple of juvenile detention centers. So these acoustic, I was playing them on acoustic, obviously, just me and my acoustic, to the clients in treatment facilities. And I would get the same response after I finished playing, which was, where can we get this music? How can we take this home? So, I procrastinated for about 6 months. And then I said, I think I got to do a record. So I put together like my usual suspects of players, and we recorded the Clean Getaway record, and it just got such a marvelous response from people, in recovery and not in recovery. It's a really cool rock and roll record. The lyrics are just about addiction and recovery and hope and change and hopefully inspiration. And so that was finished. When I was off that roller coaster, what happens with me is after I do a record, I don't even look at my guitar for a little bit because I'm basically, my tank is empty, And little by little, like right now I'm looking at it sitting there on a music stand, on a guitar stand, and it keeps calling at me. Come on, pick me up, play me.
Ricky, we're going to have to jump to a first break. I know it's a little fast, but when we get back, I want to know. I'll tell you what, for me, is so special. I know we're good friends. You don't have to do this. You didn't have to go to rehabs. You didn't have to put out this music. But you're giving back, and that's one of the greatest things about recovery. So when we come back from the break, I'd like to know why you got involved in giving back in such a major way across this country. Is that okay with you?
That's fabulous.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't go
away. I'm easy, man. Yeah,
I know you're easy, man. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
A cancer diagnosis knocks the wind out of you. The experts at Jefferson Health's Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center can help. We tailor a care plan to fit your specific cancer, with access to leading-edge treatments like immunotherapy and advanced clinical trials, all from the location that works best for you. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW, the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center, until every cancer is cured. Starting with yours.
The SoberLink system was designed to empower people in the fight against alcohol addiction. SoberLink is an accountability tool that has helped thousands of people in early recovery. If you haven't heard of SoberLink, they're the experts in remote alcohol monitoring technology with a discrete device that has facial recognition and sends real-time results to the user's recovery circle. For a limited time, get $50 off your device by emailing info@soberlink.com and mentioning Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, this is Governor Tom Wolf. Thousands of families across Pennsylvania have been affected by the opioid epidemic. Together, we can fight this disease. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, help is available. Visit pa.gov/opioids for resources and information on substance abuse. For treatment options, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Hey, this is Darryl Strawberry, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
Life is a lesson we all live and learn every day. All the ups and the downs and the roadblocks that get in the way. Trying to find myself, I got bruised and hurt, but I survived it all, and it made me the person that I am today. Every time I fall, come back stronger.
That's good stuff, good Ricky. Tune. That's a great song, man. How'd you come up with that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. I couldn't hear what you were listening to.
You couldn't hear?
No.
That's weird.
Is that from the? I think it was from the new album.
It is from the new album.
I come back stronger.
I've listened to the whole thing. I come back stronger. Yeah. I come back strong.
Oh, cool. I come back stronger.
You come back stronger. So, Ricky, As I said before the break, you didn't need to do all this. What inspired you to get involved with helping others? I mean, you're like a big rock and roll star. You didn't need to do it. Why are you doing it?
I actually did need to do it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just to end my where we were before the break is I picked up the guitar after the Clean Getaway record had run its course, and I started to write new songs. Now I'm still going out to these places, to treatment facilities, doing my recovery music groups. I started to write some new songs about the same subject matter. Of course, you know, it's the second record, and I'm writing them better. I'm more precise. I'm more to the point. And I started to do these new songs in treatment. And before I knew it, I had another, 15 songs, which I narrowed down to 12, which I put 12 on the Clean Getaway record, too, for the obvious reasons of 12 steps. But I guess if you know, you know.
Right. Yep.
But how this, just to backtrack, how it started was on the Clean Getaway record, the last song was called Broken Is a Place.
Mm-hmm.
And that was literally the first recovery tune that was written. I think it was in 2012, maybe. And I recorded it, and I did a quick recording of it, and I put it online, which you could do today, on YouTube and this and that. And I started getting responses from around the world, actually. Mm-hmm. People saying, oh, you told my story, and, you know, I'm in recovery, or unfortunately I lost somebody, or... So I was like, like a light bulb went over my head. It's like, oh, that's interesting. I think people are identifying a little bit. And that's what started the whole thing, and I started to write more songs. When I had 6 or 7 is when I kind of reached out to a treatment facility that I had worked with when I was doing these kind of recovery shows. And I said, could I come in with my acoustic and do a group? And they said, sure. Had no idea what I was doing. But I went in there with, my story and my guitar, and I started playing these songs. And that's how the whole thing started. Then I did the Clean Getaway record, and then I continued writing new songs, and then I did this new record called Sobering Times. And why do I say I have to do it? Well, I just celebrated 33 years in September 25th, actually, which is the day we kind of dropped the record, a soft kind of drop. Part of my everyday recovery, obviously, is my responsibility to help other people that are struggling. As a give back to the fact that I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And of course people reached out to me, when I asked for help at the beginning of my journey.
Right.
How I did it with music is I just kind of stumbled into it. Like I just told the story. And, now what I get to do is combine rock and roll and recovery. And, the new record's out, I'm getting amazing reviews. And once again, it's not only from people in recovery, it's from people that just love good, loud rock and roll. But the people that are actually in our little community, they're identifying with each. Everybody's identifying with a different song, which is interesting because I always ask people, like, what's your favorite song? And everybody has a different song, which is great because everybody's got a different story. And I try to, on the second record, I try to go to subject matter that maybe I didn't hit on the first record. And I also try to make the road wider. So even if you are, like, I Come Back Stronger doesn't have anything lyrically to do with drugs and alcohol, really. It's about picking yourself up again and I come back stronger. I used to be hopeless, not anymore. I used to be broken, not anymore. So I wanted to make it a little bit wider of a road so people that are outside of recovery could, that might just be having, struggling with life, which, is tricky most days, especially these days.
Yeah.
So that was my reasoning for writing a few of the songs that had a wider message.
And what's great about that, because so it's a wider audience now, and more people have the opportunity to enjoy your music. I was wondering, do you feel like you have a responsibility because of your fame and everything else to spread the word? Do you feel like there's, because you've been given so much in recovery, do you ever feel like that you have some kind of responsibility to help others?
Well, That's an interesting question. I mean, there's so many people. I know plenty of people that are very non-anonymous about their recovery. I am not anonymous. I'm not anonymous about the fact that I'm clean and sober. I am anonymous about my methods. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about my methods, you could. I'm easy to find. You could private message me, and we could have a nice chat. But there are people that I've talked to that I've asked to do stuff with me, and they say, no, I don't really like to talk about that. That's, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
I just think as a – it's a positive thing. So all I could tell you is from the response I get is – which also was one of the reasons that led me into this little, you know, this side trip that I'm doing in my rock and roll journey – about doing these recovery-based records is I was doing these live, even before the recovery music groups or the record, I was asked to do these kind of like recovery live shows, you know, with like an all-star band. And it was to raise money for a treatment facility or, you know, this and that. And what I loved was after we finished playing, I'd come off and, you know, linger after the show and talk to people, which I always do. And people would say, man, I grew up on your music. It's so cool that you're in recovery. And it's just very, what's the word? It's a good feeling to know that somebody that I listened to, you know, had the same struggles that I had, mm-hmm. found a way out, you know, helps other people. So, you know, all of these things combined said, you know what, maybe this is something here. Maybe I got something here that I could do that can combine both things. And it turns out it is. So this new record, Sobering Times, came out on September 25th. And actually, just yesterday, I signed a major distribution deal. So come the beginning of 2021, it will be in all like physical stores and everywhere online. Right now, people could just go to rickybird.com and get a copy of it, which is pretty simple.
Again, I want you to repeat that at the end of our interview because
I'm
going to spread that out. Let me ask you something. I don't know if there's an answer to this. What has been more gratifying or satisfying to you, your musical career or the work that you do in recovery?
Well, I mean, it's not a fair question. I mean, I got to play with McCartney at the Rock Hall, and I don't know, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I played with McCartney also, but not the same one you played with.
You know? Sidney McCartney?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But, I mean, listen. Whenever I share or talk about recovery, I love seeing people get it, you know? Like, I love that gleam in their eyes, especially when I go to treatment facilities and I'm playing these songs and I see people kind of, like, smile when I get to a funny part or, mm-hmm. or, you know, you see them sort of get a tear in their eyes yeah. when it hits something, one of the lyrics hits something that they identify with. I'm very, like... when I leave these treatment facilities, I say, dude, tell me, call, you know, I mean, I don't give out my phone number, but I say, contact me. I'm easy to find on social media. Tell me how you're doing. So I always, you know, a couple of times a month I get, oh, man, I saw you at so-and-so in Paterson, New Jersey at Turning Point, and, you know, I've got 6 months now, and I wanted to leave, and they told me I should come to your group, and I was ready to bolt out of there, and I heard your message. I decided to stay. I mean, I don't think it gets any better than that, right? As a songwriter, I couldn't ask for anything more because my job is to make people laugh, cry, or think. As a person in recovery, I'm spreading the message. So I don't know. What else could I ask for?
You know, I love that. We've done a couple events together over the last couple of years, and I did love the fact that you are a people person. I mean, you know, you could have ran off stage and gone to the dressing room, but you came out and you were with your people, and that's a big deal to so many people that they can touch somebody.
I know
like
what it means.
You know,
I know what it means to me. Like, I'm a baseball fan, right? So like, with all the things that I've, all the wonderful blessings I've had in rock and roll, you know, when I meet somebody from the Yankees, I mean, I grew up in the Bronx, so that just makes me a talker right from the get go.
Yeah.
But you know, I like talk to people. I talk to strangers in elevators. But you know, I remember. When I meet somebody, like somebody from the Yankees, like I get to go to there's a lot of cool perks being in a famous rock and roll band, especially with baseball, because Baseball players, for some reason, love musicians, and musicians love baseball players. Not all of them, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I get the advantage of going to cool events and stuff, and I've hung with people that I grew up watching play ball when I was a little kid. And I get like a little – when I meet them, I'm like a little kid, you know.
Well, so, what was it like to meet Paul?
And when they're nice to me, you know, when they're respectful and we have a conversation, you know, that's
yeah. –
That's my mode when I'm like it takes nothing to be kind to somebody, and
that's right.
I have people that like, you know, message me on Facebook and say, dude, I met you in like 83 with the Blackhearts, and I remember you came outside after the show or before the show and you were talking to us and signed stuff and took pictures. Yeah, man, it doesn't hurt, and people remember that stuff for their whole lives. I mean, I know I do.
Absolutely. I mean, is it like a pecking order? Like somebody would meet you and go, "Oh my gosh!" And then when you met Paul McCartney, was it like, "Oh my gosh"?
That's an interesting question because I get that asked a lot. That night was surreal in its own. It deserves its own shelf in surrealness.
Yeah,
I bet. Like the whole night was bizarre, but I was not nervous at all. I was more nervous about giving a speech that night,
yeah.
Because I looked down, you know, in the front table right in front of the podium where you know, every one of us in the Blackhearts were giving a speech. I mean, that table was Jerry Lee Lewis, Yoko, Paul, his wife, Joe Walsh, his wife, yeah. Ringo, his wife. You know, like, so I had to not look down was the key. But so I was nervous for the speech, but the playing, I mean, that's what I do.
Right, right.
So
right, yeah.
No, I wasn't nervous meeting Paul. Like when I see the photos now, I get like, whoa, that's weird. Like there's this one photo somebody cropped, and it's like me, Paul, and Ringo playing drums behind us, and I'm
yeah.
like, well, that's kind of neat.
That's you really know? Cool.
But that night, but that night I wasn't really. I was with my peers, man. I've been playing guitar since I'm 9, and I've been in the music business for 40 years. So, like, most of the people, like for example, Jimmy Vaughn accepted Stevie Ray's award that night. And, you know, and he was saying how Stevie helped him get sober when Stevie got sober. And, listen, my apartment was, like, Get High Central at one point, and Jimmy was over our house every time the T-Birds came to New York. And Stevie was over our house once, too. So, you know, we were both there the same night. So we and I hadn't talked to him since, unfortunately, Stevie passed, and we were talking about recovery and, you know, I mean, I was amongst friends.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's still, when I see those pictures, Ricky, it's almost surreal. You know that? I mean,
listen, I was on stage for soundcheck and Ringo came over to me and said, "Hi, I'm Ringo." And I was like, wow, that was weird.
Let me ask you a question. Was the highlight of your career playing my Stratocaster last year? Ricky, come on. Tell me the truth.
Wait, it's an honest program, right?
Yeah, it is. Because Ricky,
we need him in our band.
Ricky, every time I plug that guitar in, it doesn't sound like the way you played it. I don't know what's that about, you know? But you, seriously,
well,
you're an incredible.
Because I've played since I'm 9.
Now you're an incredible musician. Yeah, so have I, but still.
But let's say. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm playing since I'm 9, and it's my life's work.
I know.
So that's the difference.
I know.
But what was, going back to what I was just saying, it's like playing with Kim Simmons was like a trip for me because I grew up on Savoy Brown.
You know, I was tickled to death when you said to me, "Hey, can I share a dressing room with Kim Simmons, and will he let me come up on the stage?" And I'm thinking, man, you're a rock and roll star, and you're – It is like a pecking order, isn't it? I mean, that's what it feels like to
me.
Well,
it's just a matter of, like, well, who you grew up on. Like, so when I was when I was 16 years old, my last year of high school, I had a band, and we played Flushing High School in Queens, and we played Tell Mama in the set, the Savoy Brown song. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, playing guitar with Kim Simmons, and for Kim to say, "Man, you could really play the blues." I was like, yeah, that's what I like to hear.
That was an incredible evening. And again, you know,
yeah.
I just think you're incredible. Listen, we're almost up against the clock here. Can you please tell our listeners and viewers again, how do they get your albums?
Well, it's right this minute. You go to rickybyrd.com, RickyByrd.com. I do. There's a whole bunch of variables on a different you know, do you want a regular, do you want a digital copy? Do you want a regular copy? Do you want a signed copy? You know, it depends how much dough you want to spend, you know.
Right,
there's
right.
stuff with, like, signed lyrics and this and that. In fact, you know, there were a few people that ordered signed lyrics, and they all asked for I Come Back Stronger, which is interesting. But
we just played that.
Yeah, that's what
– yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of people seem to identify with it. And also maybe because it's non-specific about not necessarily drugs and alcohol. It's just about picking yourself up, you know.
Well, you know what song we play here a lot?
What's that?
I'm Still Standing by Elton John. I always think about that song for me. It's sort of this, it's generic, well, but it's powerful, like your
because
stuff.
Because everybody can relate to now, funny, there's a song on the new record called Together. And it's the second song on the record. I mean, I love everything on the record. I love Quitting Time. I made Quitting Time the first song. It's Quitting Time, and then in parentheses it says again. Why? Well, come on, man. How many times did we say we're done? Tonight's the last night. You know? So Together is just a big rock and roll song. And it came out right – I mean, this pandemic happened, and everybody – every 5 minutes on TV it said, we're in this together. And that's the chorus of the song. So I'm starting to get come December. I just heard that I'm going to start getting some airplay on Together, which is really cool. It's just a big. I mean, I wrote it for We're in This Together, as far as like recovery, but it has so much to do with the world right now. So that worked out well.
Yes. Well,
yeah. So that's where you go. You just go. Listen, if you're struggling, you're going to love this record. If you're in recovery, it's going to remind you why you got into recovery in the first place.
Right.
If you support the recovery lifestyle, you know, if you have somebody in your family or a friend, you're going to find something explained to you here. And if you just love loud and proud rock and roll, it's a really cool record and makes a great Christmas gift.
It certainly does. And Ricky, we're going to be playing your songs on all our shows every week, and we really appreciate – I appreciate you being a dear friend of mine and a friend of the show. And we wish you the absolute best of luck, man. Best of luck.
And as well as you. Everybody stay safe and, you know, keep rocking, man.
Keep rocking and rolling, right?
Be kind. Be kind. We have a lot of people that are hurting right now, and especially in the recovery world. Yeah. You know, because I'm also a certified counselor and a recovery coach.
I know you are.
So like, I hear the inside tally of what's going on out there about relapse and this and that and overdose. So, you know, check on your friends, man, that are in early recovery and see how everybody's doing. Be kind. Reach out. You know, make a phone call.
Thank you, Ricky Bird, for everything you do, man.
And we'll All right, man.
I'll be in touch. Take care, brother.
Thanks, Ricky.
All right, brother.
See you, babe. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend.
You too, man.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
You know, it's amazing how much music can get in and help emotionally.
Absolutely. Cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
The SoberLink system was designed to empower people in the fight against alcohol addiction. SoberLink is an accountability tool that has helped thousands of people in early recovery. If you haven't heard of SoberLink, they're the experts in remote alcohol monitoring technology with a discrete device that has facial recognition and sends real-time results to the user's recovery circle. For a limited time, get $50 off your device by emailing info@soberlink.com and mentioning Clean and Sober Radio.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, Grandma. Can Nina come over for dinner?
Sure. I've been meaning to ask you, what would happen if someone offered you a drink?
Grandma?
If anyone ever does, I want you to say, no, I have too much respect for my family, and I don't want to get in trouble.
I promise, Grandma.
They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
You hide in the shadows to keep out the pain a lot brings with all that rings true. This life you've been living is a deal that you've made between the devil and you.
To get to that. Hey, we're back. We're back.
Clean and Sober Radio.
Clean and Sober Radio. Listen, we got a lot of people. Let me go through them. I don't know if you have more than I do.
Mine somehow froze up a little bit.
Okay. Monica McNally. Oh, God, I can't pronounce her last name. I don't know why I can't pronounce it. Hey, guys. She's watching us. Jeff Phillips is watching us. Suzanne Martinez is watching us. Yes, Sophie, there is a difference between religion and spirituality.
Yes.
Is that the truth?
We all have a spirit. We don't all have a religious preference.
Right.
Dad.
Very well said.
Jeff Phillips
dear.
Is watching from Avarta, Colorado. Working building a life together from Rock Springs, Wyoming now.
Wow.
Jen Strauss. Schumber is watching. My sister Janie is watching. Adam Goldsmith. John Nolan is watching. Darlene Burton. Elizabeth Barber is watching. Sue Frazier is watching. Jeff Schroener-over is watching.
Go for it.
Can't people call in the name John Smith at this stage?
Tell me about it.
Hey, Joel Cooper. How are you, doctor? Linda Quinn is watching. Ryan Zimmer is watching.
He's my buddy.
Oh, is your
yes.
buddy?
Yes. Hi, Ryan.
Where's he from? High school buddy or what?
No. He's just from Jersey.
Okay, Jersey
yeah.
buddy. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Danielle Renee is watching. Rob McGregor and Allison Wilcoxon are watching. Adam Friedman is watching. Alex DeSelvo is watching. Kelly Irwin Burchett is watching.
Oh.
Kelly, your babies are gorgeous.
And they're not named Gary yeah. and Mark.
The next one.
The next
the
one,
next
definitely.
Twins will be Mark.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right? Mark and Gary.
Perfect.
Next, yeah. Tim O'Neill's watching. Colleen Kilkenny is watching. Hey, Brian Martin, how are you, buddy? Jan Messino is watching. Pinky Moyer is watching. Cheryl Neff, my buddy, we spoke yesterday on the phone, is watching. Annette Krauss and Kimberly Beatty are watching. Anthony, all right, we'll get back to it.
We got another one here. Yeah. Ralph Vitale.
From where?
It doesn't say, but it says Ricky Bird's new CD is a masterpiece and the new Bible for anyone that has been or has been affected by someone in recovery. I cannot say enough about the CD, Sobering Times. Put it in and start.
Well,
start with Quitting Time Again and tell me that it is not or has not been you at some time on your journey through recovery.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I hope
absolutely.
Ricky's still listening. Hey, Jose P. from San Juan. Little that I know about recovery, I was told that going to AA and NA meetings were very important. I was laughing. My son says that there are no meetings on the island of Puerto Rico.
That's
unbelievable. He's trying to pull one on his
phone. Oh, okay.
There's plenty.
Okay.
There's plenty. I know that game, right?
Yeah, or Zoom. The Zoom meetings
yeah.
at least,
that's
right?
That's a shame, yeah. I should have read this before. Laura K. from Pittsburgh. Does Ricky Bird have a tour schedule? Go on his website.
Yeah.
Ricky Bird. Okay. Amimi.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what an average day for you is like at Recovery Centers of America.
An average day for me is a blast.
And I'll tell you why. I said this to the ladies this morning. I had a 9:30 group with the ladies at Recovery Centers of America.
Are ladies and gentlemen separated when they do your thing?
Yes, when I do my groups.
Why?
Because they get into different things that are important to them, and they don't want the men listening, / they don't want the ladies listening.
Yeah, it's more comfortable.
It's just the way it is.
Okay.
It's the way most people are.
You know. Go
so we accommodate them.
Yeah.
But, you know, the I'm being – this is – I get emotional.
You get – it's fine. Great. Okay. Good for you.
The finest people I know are the people that are in recovery. And I always say – and this is coming from someone who has a church girl background. I mean, I've been in the church and extremely active, went to Bible college in my 20s, and I met a lot of fine people. I'm not saying that anybody's, you know, bad.
Sure.
But the people I've met in recovery know they have a mission. And I tell people at the beginning of the coronavirus, when all the riots started and things like that, no matter what side of the aisle you stand on, I tell them, you know what, I'm giving you your marching orders, because if you've been through a serious addiction, you've gone through the cycle maybe a couple times of going into treatment, you've disappointed your family, you may have lost jobs, you may have lost a marriage, mm-hmm. or a relationship with the most important person that you know, and you keep fighting, you have something to offer this world.
Yeah.
You simply do. You know what's important. You know how to go deep. You know how to go strong. And it's one thing, I always tell people this, it's one thing to be abstinent. What does abstinent mean? It means you haven't had a drug or drink today or for a short period of time. And then you march down your pathway and you go into recovery, right? But everybody's destiny is freedom. Everyone's destiny. And I tell them, don't stop. Don't stop until you taste what freedom tastes like, because once you've tasted it, you'll keep going after it over and over and over again. And I'll tell a little story here. I have his permission to do this, so no violations here.
As long as you don't curse. I don't think you're cursing. Say whatever you want.
Not yet.
Okay, go ahead. Vito will cut you off if you do.
Okay.
All right.
I have no need to curse.
Okay.
But I know a person. I won't even use his name. Very, very, very close to this person. He's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
He happens to be my stepson. There. I said it. And he went through quite an addiction, and it was costly in every level. Like spiritually, it was costly. What can we go to? Like in sixth step, says entirely ready. You know you're entirely ready when your liver's screaming at you,
mm-hmm.
when your family's screaming at you, the boss is screaming at you, you have no finances left. You go down the list. Emotionally, you're burnt. You're dead inside. It feels that way. You're really not, but it feels that way. You're broken inside, right? You're losing relationships, money, health, everything you can imagine. We're entirely ready is a big, big statement,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you haven't done step six unless you're entirely ready. But when Nick also got a degree in the middle of his addiction from Temple University, a very, very difficult program that he was in, but he's a brilliant kid, didn't surprise me. But so now he's clean and sober, just like the name of the station, right? And everybody was like, he should go get a master's now. Everybody who was related to him, loved him, knew him, he should go get his master's. Look what he did when he was, you know, addicted. He got a bachelor's, right? I'm like, no. Let's give him a little bit of time. Because, and I kind of started to use this phrase, he's been through recovery university, and none of us have walked down that pathway. None of us know. I'm talking to family members and things like that at this point. None of us know what that university was like. Give them a rest. Because if you can go through, especially now with fentanyl on the streets and things like that, we have patients coming in. That's the only thing in their system. Yeah. They've actually developed a resistance to fentanyl. They've used it so many times. Okay. And I always like to say, when I bring that word up, if you guys don't mind if I make a commercial break, if you've gone through detox, you've gone through, you know, a 30-day program, something like that, and you're going to go back out there and do some running around and use again, use a very little bit, if you don't mind if I say that, because you have no tolerance left. I can't even bring up the words without saying that. Yeah. You have no tolerance left. Don't start where you end it. Start really low. And I always tell people, if you're going to go on a run, ask God to come with you, because he won't abandon you and he won't leave you, even if that's what you're doing. Okay, he doesn't fall off his throne, because commercial breaks for spirituality, Gary. You can do it, right? You asked me to come on. This is who I am.
Hey, I like honest. Listen, no, everybody doesn't have to agree on anything.
I know. Everybody should agree with me, though, right, Gary?
You know, it's so funny you said it, because I think everybody should agree with me, and Mark feels the
that's
same
way. That's why we get along so well.
Right.
But so back to this story, you know, people that have gone through Addiction University, they have something to give their community. They have something that the world needs now, with all the political unrest, all the riots, all the upheaval over racial injustice and things like that. We have something to offer this world system. If you've overcome an addiction, you have a strength that most people will never even taste. And there's something to share there. And so you ask me what a typical like day is like. I tell people that every day. I tell them how irreplaceable their lives are, the value, the worth. And I tell them that they need to get in front of somebody when they're doing those steps that's a safe person that will speak life back to them and not judgment and condemnation.
Sponsorship.
Sponsorship or niceness.
Or nice people.
Yeah, one of the two.
You know.
Or both.
Yeah. Steve J. from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I like Mechanicsburg.
Yeah, I do too.
Ask him if he knows where Dillsburg is.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to ask him because it's a piece of paper.
Sorry.
But I'll ask him anyway.
Okay.
I know that relapses are on the rise, but I don't hear much about it. It seems like the pandemic has overshadowed this issue. Unfortunately, the pandemic affects – my response was, unfortunately, the pandemic affects a much greater number of Americans, so that is where the press focuses. Sad but true. Let us in the recovery community keep it in the forefront for sure.
Absolutely. Actually, if I may tweak that a little bit.
Go ahead.
More people are susceptible maybe to COVID than to becoming an addict on heroin in the next couple months. But people have picked up at a 30% greater rate since the stressors of society and the quarantine and things of like that nature. So kids that may not have picked up have picked up 30% more. And here's the thing about COVID. God bless anyone that has suffered from that disease, okay? God bless them and help them. It's also been used politically.
It
just has been. It has been used politically. But every day, you know, the United States military says our national protection has been compromised because of how many young men who would normally sign up for the military, their mom and dad had to bury them instead, or they're homeless somewhere in Kensington. Yeah. Like, it's compromised national security. This is an ongoing issue. This is the plague of our lifetime. COVID is something that millions and millions and millions of dollars are being poured into. We will get a vaccine. Yeah. Treatment has increased as far as value and efficiency. People are suffering less when they do get it. And yet we still have a place near Philadelphia called K&A, Kensington and Allegheny, where children who people don't even know their name. I've helped bury some of these kids. They're still suffering. They're still going without.
Yeah, as you said, this will go on way longer than the pandemic. Oh,
absolutely.
Right?
And
yeah, let me jump some of these people in here because it's – C. Ruger's watching, Ralph Natale, John Batten, Daniel Fleming. Let me just run back. Anything you've seen on there?
John Batten, my main man. He's awesome. We used to jam together in his basement.
Did you?
Yeah, just like you and I jammed.
Who's Pinky Matt Moyer, you know?
Pinky Moyer?
Yeah.
I do not know.
Well, thanks for watching anyway, Pinky.
I don't even see a pinky on my side.
Well, if you see someone without four fingers.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's who it is.
Hey, Vito. Vito.
Where's a pen when you need
it? How much time we got? 1 minute. Okay,
look,
let's do this real quick. First of all, Mimi, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're welcome here anytime. You have incredible insight, compassion, empathy. My daughter's right. You are one special person.
Oh, that's very kind.
And she always talks about you. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow, Saturday, is Drop Off Your Drug Day. All right? Go to your local police station. Get rid of the drugs. Nobody's going to arrest you. Just get rid of it. All right? Tomorrow, I think it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. all across the country. Ricky Bird, thanks for coming on the show. If you're still watching or listening, what are you doing this weekend, brother?
We were thinking about fishing on Sunday, but the waves look real big. We were going to go out to out on a party boat to catch some blues in Belmar, but I don't know if it's going to happen. How about you?
I'm going to the take back thing at the police station, and then I have to work on Sunday half the day.
Oh, bummer.
And then I'm going to clean the garage out.
Oh,
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you. I'm telling you the truth, Mimi.
I got a flat tire to fix, too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we have some.
Okay, you guys, can I just say call 1-800-RECOVERY?
Absolutely.
If
say it again.
If you have any needs, 1-800-RECOVERY. My husband happens to be the CEO of Raritan Bay. If you want to check that place out, we just opened up Chicago, Indiana. We're going to be opening up in Pittsburgh. So we're spreading the wings and spreading the message.
That's great stuff.
Thank you very much.
That's great.
Thanks
for Mimi.
Me.
Wait a minute. Let's see where we're going.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Yeah. Pull it.
I'm Fred Schwartz.